The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the 42nd Psalm. The 42nd Psalm, while you're turning there, I preached a series of messages on when the Lord asks us why. When the Lord asks us why. We oftentimes ask Him why, and that's what the psalmist is basically doing to himself here. He's asking himself why, and maybe you're here this morning with a wonder of why. Why are things like they are in my life? Certain circumstances have happened to you that have caused you great, discouragement, if you will, and maybe even great depression. And so I want to deal with that here this morning for just these few moments, and I promise you that we will get out before the bell rings. Can I get a happy smile for that? And here is this psalm. The psalmist speaking to us. We don't know who the author is. Only conjecture could lead us to that. It is a psalm of instruction given to us to the chief musician, Maskil, meaning for instruction, for the sons of Korah. There are 9 psalms that are addressed to the sons of Korah. Of course, you know the story of Korah. He led a rebellion against Moses, and the earth opened up and swallowed him. So don't be leading a rebellion here, all right? And so that's what happened to Korah and those 250. But the truth of the matter is, because that was a part of their heritage doesn't mean that they had to live with that. I don't know what your heritage in your home is. I suspect that there are many here, as I said Wednesday night. Maybe you've come from a broken home. Maybe you've had some great disappointments in people that you have loved that have let you down. I don't know what it may be that's in your life like that. But I promise you, like the sons of Korah, it is almost like the Lord giving these psalms to them to say, hey, you don't have to live the same way that sometimes, or have to bear the weight of what maybe relatives have done. Or you could decide, maybe if you've had a family member who has walked out. My mom, her mom in the 1930s walked out on all 3 children that she had, walked out in the 1930s. And my mom decided that that was never going to happen with her. And you can have that kind of decision in your life, that even though maybe you've had some great disappointments, as I said, with your family, you don't have to be that way yourself. You can say, Lord, I want it to be different in my life, and I'm going to be different. And God will help you that way in a great blessing. But here is this psalm, and we read in verse number 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now here is his why, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and the hill Miser. So I'm going to stop reading there and just say this wonderful psalm is a person who first of all makes his profession in verses 1 and 2. He's not doubting his salvation. Oftentimes young people have a tendency when they start to coming face to face with the Lordship of Christ in their life after they have been saved, they begin to struggle with the thought, have I really been saved? The Apostle Paul, when he got saved on the Damascus Road, he said, who art thou, Lord? He settled that issue and gave his heart to Christ and knew that it was Jesus. It really is him. and he got born again. And then immediately he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? We often say Lord and Savior, but really the process is Savior and then Lord, yielding our lives to the Lordship of Christ, yielding our lives to his will. And so the psalmist here, whoever the author is making public his profession. My soul panteth after the Lord, just like a deer. I'm regardless of what danger it may put me in, I'm glad to make my decision to publicly say that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. But then he has a bit of a problem. Who doesn't have a problem? If you don't have any problems, see me after the service. I'll share some of mine with you. We all have a problem. And he says that in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He has a problem. We don't know exactly what the problem is. In fact, I think maybe it's left out of what exactly his problem is, so that you could make the application to yourself with your problem, whatever it is that has caused the tears to flow down your cheeks unbidden. Our daughter, when she was in college, and her daughter is a freshman student here. Kaylin, where are you at? Raise your hand. It's my granddaughter right over here. And our daughter, every night about 8:30, 9 o'clock, she would call us on the phone. And she would say with tears, I want to come home. I want to come home. And I said, well, we can't get you home tonight. We'll talk about it in the morning. And she would say, I won't want to come home in the morning. I want to come home now. And so we just kept saying that. And I could count on these two hands in 4 years how many times that she missed calling us with that kind of a problem. Now, I don't know if that's your problem. Maybe you're so discouraged, your soul is disquieted in you, and you miss home. It's Thanksgiving time. Christmas time is coming up. And as I said, I love this time of year. I love all the fun songs. I really do love the fun songs. My wife doesn't care anything about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. She doesn't like that song. But the truth of the matter is, it's a wonderful time of the year, and maybe you get thinking about home, and you get all discouraged, and you're problem seems to be that it's affecting even your sleep. You're not able to sleep as well as you once did because you have this problem in your life. And there are tears flowing down your cheeks. That happens. And then there are the taunts that come to you. Notice what happens here in verse 3, the latter part. They continually say unto me, where is thy God? This problem keeps coming up, and the taunts that come to you as a result of the problem. Where is the Lord? Where is he in this issue? Why isn't he helping me? Why isn't he calming my heart and my mind continually? Maybe you're facing a problem in your life that just seems to be recurring all of the time. Now, don't blame God for failing tests and not succeeding like you ought to in your schoolwork if you don't study, you know, if you're not working at it. But there are genuine problems in your life, things that arise that come along that, you know, there's never a convenient time for a problem to come. And so here is the difficulty that he has. He's so discouraged. And may I address those of you who are discouraged here this morning. I dare say there are many of you, maybe. And if you're not careful, discouragement can lead to a depression. And so be careful about that. And this psalm here, I think, is to help us all with the kind of difficulties and problems that come. And you would want to say, why? Now, the psalmist here says now, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. When you start remembering things that are coming your way, the taunts and the ridicule or the difficulties that come into your life, you remember how good God has been to you. And he said, I pour out my soul, and I don't quit going to church. I'm amazed at how many people say, well, I just quit going to church. I've got problems. I've got difficulties. I usually just say, well, join the crowd. Everybody has some kind of problem or difficulty. You don't stop going to church, even if you don't necessarily feel like, well, don't feel like going. Feelings are so fickle. Have you ever noticed that? They're just that way. They come and they go. I'll be honest with you. I don't always feel like reading my Bible. I don't always feel like praying. And I'll say, now, I'm going to go have my devotion. Feelings, would you join me? And feelings say, don't want to go. Don't want to go. Well, come on, it's always better to read my Bible when I feel like it. Well, I'm leaving you alone. You're on your own. And I go ahead and read my Bible. After a while, there comes a knock on the door, and I open the door. And you know what it is? It's feelings that decide to want to join me. And if you'll just keep doing the right thing, you just keep going to the house of God, just keep praying and just asking the Lord for His help, and you'll start remembering some things in your life, boy, those feelings will come back. And that's really what the psalmist is saying here. I didn't quit going to the house of the Lord, and I want to keep holy day. I want to keep serving Him, and how important that is. And then he asks this question, verse 5, why art thou cast down? Why are you cast down? The prolonging problem. And maybe many of you are here this morning, you have a long-standing difficulty in your life. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Why are you this way? Why do you keep feeling this way? I know some of you maybe have, as I have written down here, some things that cause your soul to be disquieted in you. Expectations sometimes will cause that. You had a level of expectations in your life about some things. Maybe some of you are a senior and you assumed not only would you get an education here, but you might get a spouse. And that hasn't materialized. You don't. There's no person in your life like that. You have the expectations. You're all discouraged. I'm just wondering what's going to happen. You wait on the Lord. See, Proverbs 18:22, you men need to understand this. Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And now you ladies need to remember, nowhere in the Bible does it say whoso finds a husband finds a good thing. You need to take note of that. I said that to one man in front of his girlfriend. He said, well, Pastor, that's the reason it's not in the Bible, because it just goes without saying. I said, well, you stick with that thought, I'll tell you for sure. In the ministerial class, I gave those men good advice. And you, how many of you men prayerfully one day hope to be married? Let me see your hand. You hope to be married one day, all right? Not today, not tomorrow, all right? I gave them this advice, said, don't ask your wife when dinner is going to be ready while she's still mowing the grass. Good advice. Take notes while I preach, all right? You need to do that. And so here is a proclamation. Expectations sometimes cause us to get greatly discouraged. Accusations sometimes can cause you to get disquieted in your soul. Somebody maybe misunderstood or misinterpreted what you said, and they're bothered about it. It's not any truth to it. Accusations can sometimes go around, unfounded, untruths. Sometimes the devil will lie about you. I promise you that. And then there are temptations. You have the temptations for comparison if you're not careful. One of the great temptations is to compare yourself. Boy, I wish I looked like her. I wish I looked like him. Wish I could do this like they do that. And you have comparisons in your life, and it gets you all discouraged. Listen, God doesn't make any junk. Amen. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't make any mistake when He made you. Now, He wants you to improve and do everything you can to take the wonderful person that you are to be everything you could be and should be for His honor and glory. But don't get caught up in comparisons. I know as a pastor, I have for these 44 years, you always try to, you know, you get the comparison. Well, I wonder why I'm not running as many as so-and-so's running, or why am I not doing as good as they're doing? I think that I'm whatever. We have comparisons in our life. We all do that. I mean, it never ends, comparisons where, you know, you think that certain way. And that'll cause your soul to get disquieted in you. And then there are frustrations. If you'll notice here, he says in verse number 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Frustrations, wave after wave, frustrated. Boy, I just can't seem to get any traction. Have you ever said that? I'm not getting traction in what I'm doing. Maybe I've made a mistake being here, or maybe I need to change my major, or maybe something else needs to happen. And frustrations get a hold of us at times when it's wave after wave, but you hang in there. We just celebrated 44 years of ministry. Started Temple Baptist Church, as I said, we had 11 folks the very first Sunday and a $12 offering, and if I'd have put more in, I'd have gotten more out, and it was a difficult time. We had a little ad came out in the newspaper the next week. The next week, a little ad came out. Temple Baptist Church, new church started in Lewisville, Texas. Call this number for information. Now, this is for cell phones and for all the internet and all of that. I know you can't imagine a time. How did you all function? Well, that was the social media was the local newspaper, and that ad came out. Call this number. When that ad came out, our phone got cut off because we hadn't paid the bill. That's how broke we were when we started. And I remember I had knocked on literally hundreds and hundreds of doors, and I thought we'd have the first Sunday a host no man could number, but it didn't materialize. And I just knew when that ad came out, that would maybe bring some folks in, but call this number for information. And it said, this number has been temporarily disconnected. And I went home. I was greatly discouraged. You talk about my soul disquieted in me. And I went home, and our little girl, 2 months old, starting a church full time. I was just running between the doors and knocking doors, trying to do everything I could. And our phone got cut off for just that little ad that we had. And I went in with tears to my wife. I said, well, I guess you know the phone's been cut off. She said, oh, yeah, I'm aware of that. And I said with tears, do you think I'm just being foolish for doing this? And what a great cheerleader. My wife, she said, oh, no. God's going to see us through. And he's going to meet the need. That was 44 years ago. And God has met the need. Now, we don't set any world records, as I said Wednesday night, but we've been blessed of God in a wonderful, wonderful way. We have literally millions of dollars worth of property. Just finished building a family life center. God's been so good to us. I can't tell you how many times my wife has been my cheerleader. And I want to tell you something. You could be a cheerleader to somebody whose soul is disquieted in them. You may know a fellow student who's greatly discouraged, and you're doing just fine. You know what you could do is cheer them on and pray for them and be an encouragement to them. And so the psalmist here is, the problem is long, the billows roll over, and he just doesn't know what to do. So he just says, I'm just so discouraged, and I will say unto God. Now look at verse 9. Now he's saying to God, why? In verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Now, what an accusation against God. Now, I might forget, you know, when you get married, you know, you go in, and as I said, you ask your wife, what's the matter? And she says, nothing. And you know, there's something. Did I forget her birthday? Oh, no. Is it anniversary? Did I forget that? And we can be guilty of forgetting. My mother, I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for my mother. She left a liberal church trying to get my dad to go to church. My dad never would go to church. And so she said, I'm going back to the Baptist church where I grew up. And she took us to a Baptist church, and I got saved in that church, called to preach in that church, all because of my mother. But my mother got dementia, a horrible disease. Some of you may have viewed that difficulty in grandparents or others. And my mother, when I'd see her, she'd say, who are you? I ought to know who you are. And how discouraging that was to me, that my mother would forget who I am. She'd try to guess, or I'd go see her, and she'd say, I don't know you, but you haven't been to see me. And it's just a difficult thing. But to accuse God, why have you forgotten me? He has graven us on the palms of his hands. A wonderful illustration. Not that the Lord is limited to the size of a hand, but he'll never forget you. Can a mother forget her child? Sometimes mothers do. But I want to tell you, God will never forget you. He understands exactly what you're going through. And so he makes this accusation. Why have you forgotten me? And I just don't know what to do. And he says, in verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Oh, they make fun of him. Where is your God? Why hasn't things changed? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Could I say to every one of you here this morning that's discouraged, maybe even on the verge of depression or maybe already there, keep the faith. Keep trusting God. Keep looking to him. Keep praying for God to strengthen you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Our daughter, all those nights, I don't want to come home in the morning. We'd always say to her, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior year, senior year, we'd always say, you'll be glad you stayed when you walk across that stage. Well, she'd say, well, I may be glad then, but I'm not glad now. Maybe some of you have called your parents that same way. And when she walked across the stage, she said, I know you're thinking it. You were right. I am glad I stayed. And the truth of the matter is, don't allow the depression and discouragement to cause you to make decisions that you will one day, I promise you, you'll regret. Why are you discouraged? He doesn't tell us why in this psalm, but you know why, don't you?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.